Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and we just finished a series on the Apostles' Creed. If you've been listening to them, you can be blessed, I hope. And if you haven't listened to them, you can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship and click on Sermons and listen to the messages. I just want to take a moment and thank everyone who's been sending in their prayer requests. We get prayer requests every week, and our prayer team is praying. We're seeing some miracles, and I would ask that you would pray right now or pray, write this down. Pray for Dr. Herman and his wife, Barbara. Dr. Herman has been diagnosed with inoperable pancreatic cancer. He's the sponsor. He is actually the sole sponsor of the Seed of Faith here on the radio. And of course, if you'd like to help sponsor these programs, you could do that. You could go to our website and click on the giving link and sponsor the program. Can you believe that we're back in the new year with fall and everything that's happening? It's always a wrestling match for me when I pray about what to teach on during the fall. We go from, if you're in a church calendar, I'm going to give you a little church calendar history. You go from Advent to Christmas time to the new year and renewing our baptism to Lent and Holy Week and Easter, and then we continue with Pentecost, and finally we come to a summer series, and you can, which we just finished with the Apostles' Creed, and now you begin the fall programming, and you kick off all the fall programming, and the year ends with Christ King Sunday late in November, and then Advent begins. I don't want to scare you, but we're getting close to Christmas. So I've titled this series, I'm going to do a new series, and I know there's a saying out there, WWJD, what would Jesus do? I titled this series WWJS, what would Jesus say? What would Jesus say? And as I've been studying through this year, my curiosity was piqued when I read my Gospels over and over again when Jesus says, follow me. Two simple words, follow me. We began a study at our church on the Gospel of Mark on Wednesday nights, and the word follow is used 17 times in the Gospel of Mark. That's a powerful thing when the word follow is out there. And well, as we journey with Christ to Christ the King Sunday, I encourage you to pick up your Bible and read a chapter of the Gospel of Day. You could, Matthew has 28 chapters, Mark has 16 chapters, Luke has 24 chapters, and John has 21 chapters. If you read a chapter of a Gospel a day, you can be close to reading through the four Gospels by the end of the year. I have a reading plan. I would gladly send you my reading plan. I read five chapters of Psalms a day, a chapter of Proverbs a day, and a chapter of the Gospel a day. And then I'm also reading for my sermons and all my teaching. Let us turn to our first reading in the Gospel of Mark. And before we open God's Word, let us come to the throne of grace in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you are our Lord and Savior. You call us and come. You call us, Lord, to come and follow you. Help us to have ears to hear, eyes to see, arms and feet ready to follow and serve where you call us. May your words be life to our weary souls. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 14 through 20. If you don't have a Bible, email me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship. I'll send you a Bible. I would love to send you my Bible reading program. You can email me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship. Grab your Bibles and let's jump in. Mark chapter 1, 14 to 20. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. repent and believe the good news. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, immediately, he called them, and they left their father, Zebedee, in a boat with the hired men and followed him. Retired minister and author Bob Russell told the following account to illustrate how Christians often go along with the moral pace of those around us, that by comparison we feel safe since, quote unquote, everyone is doing it. Have you ever said that? Well, everyone's doing it. Or maybe you've heard someone say, well, everyone's doing it, therefore we're okay. So Bob Russell, a wonderful pastor, teacher, writer, wrote this. He said, 2 months ago, my wife and I were visiting our son Rusty and his family. One day, Rusty was test driving a foreign-made car and was frustrated because he couldn't figure out how to change the speedometer reading from kilometers to miles. That evening, he suggested that we take the kids and all go out for ice cream. We'll have to take two cars, he insisted, so you and Mom just follow me. Well, Bob said I followed him and was surprised when a policeman whizzed up behind us with his lights flashing. I couldn't imagine he was after me because I didn't feel like I was speeding. And besides, I was going the exact same speed as the guy in front of me. The officer came up to my window and said, sir, you are going 58 miles an hour in a 45 mile an hour zone. But wait right here. I'm going to deal with the car in front of you, and I'll be right back. When he went to my son's car, Rusty quivered. Rusty said, officer, I know this is going to sound like a line, but this is the first day I've driven this car, and I can't figure out how to change it from kilometers to miles. So I had no idea how fast I was going. And the guy behind me, well, he's my dad, and he doesn't know what he's doing either. Aren't we like that sometimes? We get behind someone, and we don't really know what we're doing. So let me set the stage for the context of our passage. Mark does not give us a lot of information. We are told that after John the Baptist was put in prison, Jesus went to Galilee. While Jesus is in Galilee, he goes about proclaiming the good news. The good news is both from God and about God. Let me say that again, because people say, well, go read the good news or read the Bible. It's good news. The good news is both from God and it's about God. You want to hear some good news? We don't hear a lot of good news, to be honest with you, on the radio, and I know I'm on the radio. We don't hear a lot of good news on the TV. I can tell you where to find the good news. It's in your Bible. There's 66 books in there, and if you have the Protestant Bible, if you have a Catholic Bible, there's a few more books. But there's books in there with good news. The good news is both from God and about God. This good news is the gospel that brings forgiveness, mercy, restoration, reconciliation, renewal, and resurrection, new life. Did you hear me? The good news brings forgiveness. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you've done. And maybe you're struggling right now. Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and he'll forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Turn around and confess your sins. That's the good news, forgiveness, mercy, restoration, reconciliation, renewal, and resurrection, new life. The people of Israel had been longing to hear such a message. I think we're longing to hear such a message. Just like today, we want to hear the same message that the people of Israel in Jesus's day wanted to hear. Now, those around Galilee at this time did not only hear about the good news of forgiveness, grace, restoration, reconciliation, and mercy, but they actually encountered the one who was able to deliver it. How we long to encounter the risen Christ and let him speak forgiveness, love, grace, mercy, restoration, reconciliation into our lives. Follow me. Key words to note. That's what he says. Follow me. The radical message, time has come. I want to rule. So he says, repent. The first thing that Jesus proclaims is good news. He says, Jesus is the good news. Both Jesus challenges them with these powerful words. The time has come, he said, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. The time has come. God knows where you are. Did you hear me? God knows where you are right now. And God knows what you are facing. God knows the time to show up and speak into your life. Maybe it's right now. You turned on the radio to hear this. God knows where you are, and God wants to speak into your life. Just like he knew the time had come for Jesus to speak into the lives of the early disciples, he said, the time has come. All time is in God's hands. I don't know what you're facing, but I know that God will bring you through this. The kingdom of God is near. What Jesus is saying is that the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God, or the time for God to rule and reign, has come. Now that's a difficult concept. But what Jesus is saying is the kingdom of God is near. God wants to rule and reign in your heart. God wants to rule and reign in your home. God wants to rule and reign in your relationships. God wants to rule and reign in your finances. God wants to rule and reign in your work, in your thoughts. That's a powerful statement, a powerful act of surrender to allow Jesus to become our ruler and to reign in our hearts, our homes, our places of work. Jesus is in Galilee saying the time has come. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by The Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and we've just started a new series called WWJS, What Would Jesus Say? And we're going to be looking at the word follow me for several weeks. Jesus says the time has come. God knows the time to enter in. The kingdom of God is near. The rule and reign, he wants to rule and reign in our life. Then he says, repent and believe the good news. Repent, that's a big word, and it's a powerful word, and it's a challenging word. Repent means to stop walking in one direction and turn around. Repent means to have a change of mind or a heart. In an article titled, Whatever Became of Repentance, Christianity Today's Mark Galley writes, on October 31st, 1517, Martin Luther is said to have posted 95 theses or disputations on the power of indulgences on the door of All Saints Church. The professor of moral theology at the University of Wittenberg was proposing an academic debate about indulgences, the practice of doing good works or offering money in order to remove punishment for sins. Luther was disturbed by how indulgences encourage people to pay for forgiveness rather than repent. Do you see what the problem was in the early church? People could pay for their forgiveness, but not stop doing what they're doing. Instead, Luther said, this is what Martin Luther said, our Lord and Master Jesus Christ, when he said repent, willed that the whole life of believers should be repentance. That is hard to swallow today, as it was then. We are not to first notice how absent the theme of repentance is today. Carl Menninger wrote a book in 1988 and was called a bestseller, Whatever Became of Sin, but maybe we could change the title, Whatever Became of Repentance. Galley notes that repentance is unpopular because, quote unquote, we're addicted to justifying our own actions and pointing out the evil in others. Boy, that's so true, isn't it? When we get into a discussion or a conflict, it's hard for us to say, I'm sorry. We point out the faults in others, or we justify our own actions. If I really looked at my own self-centeredness and pride, I would see that I need to repent. Galley argues, I have to admit that I'm a hypocrite and a moral failure. And he concludes, aren't we all? That's precisely why Jesus came to save the world from itself and to save us from ourselves. That's why the word repentance is usually connected to the phrase good news. As Mark highlights in his summary of Jesus' early preaching, repent and believe the good news, Mark 1:15. Repent and believe in the good news. Not only is Jesus calling the people to repentance, Jesus is calling them to believe in the good news. This may be the only place in Scripture where we are told to believe in the good news. The Greek word Jesus uses for believe is a present active imperative. I know that probably doesn't mean anything to you, but in Greek, that's a powerful statement. It's a present active imperative. In the Greek, it means that this is a command. And the action of believing is nonstop or ongoing. It's a verb, so it's a command, not a suggestion. And so it's a command, and the action of believing is nonstop and ongoing. To believe, unquote, quote, is to, in the Greek culture, was to place your trust, to rely on, to have confidence in, or to put your faith in what Jesus had said. Not just once, not just twice, but every minute, every hour, every day. Now, that is a hard thing to do, isn't it? To trust. Trust to believe. So what? Maybe we have a so what here in this time. Hear the good news. The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. The time that God will rule and reign. The time that Jesus will have supremacy in our lives is at hand. The time has come for us to change our minds, to turn back, to turn around, to change direction is at hand. I propose a preposterous idea, maybe for all of us hearing this message, calling on God, Jesus is calling us to turn around, to come back. Maybe he's calling you to come back to church. Maybe he's calling you to come back to a relationship. Maybe he's calling you back, I don't know, calling you back from your way of life. In the days of Jesus walking around the Sea of Galilee, we need to understand the amazingly radical call of Jesus. During the days of Jesus, the rabbi or rabbis, priests of the synagogues, would come to towns and choose the best and the brightest of the youngest boys to become their disciples, and they would take them and train them and educate them. The boys who were not chosen would go back into their father's business and work. We can assume that Peter and Andrew and James and John and the rest of the disciples were not among the best and the brightest students because they were working in their father's business. Jesus comes walking along the shore and calls out to them, "Follow me." The Greek word for follow in this verse is opiso, and it means to come after or come behind. To follow in Jesus' day was to accept and follow the leadership or guidance of a person, which usually literally meant walking or following behind. So put yourself in this story. You've grown up in a little fishing village called Bethsaida. Bethsaida in the Greek means house of fish. Beth is house, Seda is fish. So you grew up in this little fishing village, probably no more than, I don't know, 200-300 people, if that much. And you've made maybe one or two trips to Jerusalem, but you've most likely never traveled very far from your home. Maybe you're listening and you grew up in a small town. You understand what's going on here. Jesus comes to this little small town, to these what I would say nobodies from nowhere. And you have no hope of doing anything greater than working in your father's fishing boat. And listen to Jesus' words. He says, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." What a radical message. Let Jesus rule and reign in your life. Repent and turn around. Change your mind, your heart, and your direction. Believe and keep on believing. Never stop having trust or faith in this good news. What a radical call. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So you have a radical message. You have a radical call. I want to talk for just briefly. We're probably going to run out of time, but radical obedience. Okay, now you're saying, Pastor, you're messing with us. Obedience. But I'd like for you to enter this story. These untrained, uneducated fishermen were now being called to follow Jesus. They had not traveled very far. They had most likely never talked about much other than what was happening in their little fishing village. And along comes Jesus, and their world is turned upside down. History tells us that John became the bishop of Ephesus. Peter went to Rome, and Andrew went as far as the borders of Russia. By following Jesus, their hearts had been enlarged to take in the whole world, and not just the four corners of little Bethsaida. Mark tells us that immediately they left everything and followed Jesus. A radical call demands radical obedience. Let me say that again. A radical call demands radical obedience. Immediately means at once, without delay, without hesitation. I grew up in a family of four boys. I'm the third of four. My oldest brother died when I was 12. But I remember when my mother wanted my attention, and she would say, "Dave, Dave, Dave," and then she'd say, "David James, immediately come." You know, if I didn't come, I had problems. Now, I know none of you ever had that problem, right? You always obeyed your mother or your father. But here Jesus is coming to the shore, and he says to Andrew and Peter, "Come, follow me." He says to James and John, "Come, follow me." And what we're told in this passage of Mark is that they immediately, without hesitation, left their nets. Peter and Andrew, they left their nets. James and John left their father. So what? So what? As we begin to study our fall series, I want us to hear the words of Jesus as if they were spoken to us. I want us to hear them new and fresh each and every day. Follow me. Remember Bob and Rusty, Russell, I talked about at the beginning of the message, if you were listening then. Rusty had no idea how fast he was driving. But Bob, listen, Bob knew exactly how fast his car was going, 58 and a 45. But Bob had decided to follow Rusty. That's our choice each and every day. Maybe right now you're following someone and you're going over the speed limit. Sorry. But every day we get a choice of who we're going to follow. That's our choice each and every day. We're going to either follow Rusty or we're going to follow Jesus. Who are you going to follow? Let's start with the Gospel of Matthew and read a chapter a day. Or join with me in the Gospel of Mark. That's where we're going to spend a lot of our time in the next few weeks. Read a chapter of the Gospel of Mark. I'll send you my reading chart. Psalms are for heart wisdom. If you read five chapters of Psalms a day, you'll go through the Psalms in a month. If you read a chapter of Proverbs, which are for head wisdom, you'll go through the Proverbs in a month. If you read a chapter of the Gospel, there's 16 chapters in Mark. Sit down, read a chapter. Let God's Word speak to you. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we give thanks for your great love. We give thanks for the words, "Follow me." Lord, let us have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Let us have ears to hear what Jesus is saying. Follow me. In Jesus' name we pray. I want you to know it's never too late. It's never too late for God to work. God created you, and he knows the plans that he has for you. And his plan is, follow me. I want you to know that God loves you. And I love you. God bless, and have a great day.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com. Or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.